Jesus is the best friend I ever had. He has done me nothing but good, took away the bad. Well, he lifts me up when I'm down, cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. He has done me nothing but good and took away the bad. Yes, he lifts me up. Oh, when I'm down, cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. Jesus is the best friend I ever had. He has done me nothing but good and took away the bad. He lifts me up. Oh, when I'm down, cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. He has done me nothing but good and took away the bad. Oh, he lifts me up when I'm down and he cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. Oh, he has done me nothing but good and took away the bad.
Well, he lifts me up, oh, when I'm down,
cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. He has done me nothing but good and took away the bad.
When I'm down
and cheers me when I'm sad. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I ever had. Oh, Jesus is the best friend I've ever had. He has done me nothing but good and took away the bad.
Well, he lifts me up when I'm down and cheers me when I'm sad.
Oh, Jesus is the best friend
wonderful. It's good to be reminded every now and then that He is still on His throne, isn't it? I'm thankful for that. I don't want to take for granted that God is in control of every aspect of my life, every aspect of my walk. Though He allows me to have some control over my life and to make the decisions I want to make, He still keeps His hand on me. Because He knows I have to take baby steps to get to where He wants me to be. But He's not going to make me do anything that He's not going to force me to do something, but He's still on the throne. He's still in control, isn't He? And I'm thankful for that. So many times I thought I was in control when I left church and for a short time, and I went out in the world, experienced things I shouldn't, and I thought I'd been rid of God. But one day He came knocking on my heart again. He said, "I'm still on my throne. I haven't yielded my crown to you yet. I'm still on the throne. I am still in control." I said, "Lord, I want to give you control. I want to give you control of every aspect of my life." I'm so thankful for the vision we have today. I've been listening to Brother Smith talk about the book of Hebrews and what Christ accomplished, the reason Christ came to this earth and what He was to accomplish. And I'm thankful we have a vision that it goes beyond just Christ coming and dying on the cross, forgiving us of our sins. I've done it all for you, all the work, and it's all hunky-dory. You go do whatever you want. I've taken care of all the work. But I'm thankful that we have a vision that it goes a little beyond that, that He's giving us a power. The Holy Ghost is not the end. The Holy Ghost is the beginning of our walk, to learn how to overcome, to reach perfection, to be a part of the work and the church He's going to build. I love watching the church, watching the people of God build His church, seeing the things I've been seeing at the meetings, the people coming together and praising God and having a unity. And I know that's what God wants. He is looking for a unity in the faith. All these denominations are, I'm not saying they're not good people out there, but all this division is not what God wants. God wants one body of people, one people who's united under Him, under the truth, the absolute truth. I'm thankful. It's something we can't take for granted that we have a vision that we need the truth. Even if we don't have 100% of the truth, it's great to know we don't have the truth. At least to know what we need to strive for. And I'm thankful that God is doing this work to show people that God's work didn't end a long time ago when the first church fell away, but that God touched the heart of a man named Brother William Souders, and He gave him this vision of one body, one restored church. That's something to be excited about tonight, isn't it? Something that that should inspire us to go on to reach greater heights. Joseph and I were having, and me, Joseph and DJ were having a conversation earlier today, and it was good. We got really, I think we lost a little track of time, and I was almost late for band practice. But talking about where we were and where God had brought us from, and what a blessing it is that we can feel God's love in this place, that we have brothers and sisters, and that Christ is manifesting His love through a people. In reading the Bible, the primary way that I've noticed God works is through people. He didn't look down on Egypt, stretch forth His arms, and say, "Let my people go." No, He told Moses, He sent a man, Moses, to tell them. And Moses wasn't perfect. Moses, he fought against God a little bit in that. He said, "Well, I'm slow of speech. I don't know if I'm the man for this." It's easy to feel that way when God is calling us to a work that we may not feel qualified to do. I know I don't, because of where the places I came from, the things I did, the appreciation I didn't have. It's overwhelming to me that God saw fit to touch my heart. And and give me this burden that I have for the body of Christ and for the truth. And I'm thankful that God's working in a people with that burden. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that we're not here complacent, that we're not here just because we feel like we have to be? Sometimes I'm here because I feel like I have to be, but for the most part, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the revelation we have, the understanding we have. There's a great work to be done, and I want to be willing to do whatever it is that God would have me do. I don't want to sit. I don't want to sit and I don't want to be just an onlooker. I don't want to just watch a spectator. I don't want to just watch. Just watching the sidelines. I want to be a part of it. I'll tell you, I've been seeing some of y'all, how happy y'all get and excited in the spirit. And I know how wonderful it must make you feel. And I know how wonderful it's made me felt. So y'all made me feel. So I want in on that. I want in on that. If that's any foresight of what the end of this is going to be, I want to be a part of that. And I want to do whatever it takes. I want to yield myself over completely. That's what Brother Smith was talking about today, about people having trouble yielding over. And that was a problem that I had for a long time, and I think I still do. But when I first started coming back to church, I was having a little trouble really yielding my spirit, and I wasn't sure what was holding me back. And there were several things, but I'd like to just share a small testimony in that sense of something that clicked that I remembered happened about a year back when someone said something today about music and the effect that music has on people's minds and how it affects our mood and works in our attitudes and really manifests itself. Music is a very dangerous thing. It's a very powerful thing, I should say, a very powerful thing that can be used for both good and bad. And I could probably say music was one of the primary doorways that led me to the world, because I started thumbing through the radio, listening to things I hadn't heard of before. I found a rock and roll station. I started listening to rock and roll, and at the first times I used to hear it, I just kind of let it fly by. It wasn't very interesting. The thrashing guitars, really loud, distorted sounds, but every now and then I'd hear it again. And it just something was enticing about it. And I started listening to it again, more and more, and I kind of got drawn into it. That's not the only kind of music I was listening to. I was very broad in my choices of music, but there was studies done on music and why the certain kinds of music, why it's so appealing and why people like to listen to it. And there were studies done on music like hard rock and roll and stuff of that general genre that the simplest explanation is that the signal sent through your brain by these tones stimulates adrenaline, and it builds an adrenaline rush. You get an adrenaline rush can be addictive, so people become addictive to certain kinds of music. And anything that you put between you and God should not be there. It should not be. And something that you build your life around when you should be building your life around God, something needs to be done about it. And for a long time, I finally admitted to myself that I had made music my God. I always loved music. I loved listening to different kinds of music. But about a year ago, it wasn't this last convention center meeting, but it was the one a year before that, something hit me, and I was wondering what was going on. I mean, I felt like I was having I was getting a better connection with God, but I didn't know really. Something still felt like it was lacking, And then I realized, I started thumbing through my music and looking at some of the things I knew should not be in that playlist. I said, God, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to cast this stuff aside. I went through, I deleted everything from my phone, all the music off my phone, and I felt such a feeling of peace wash over me. Felt something that, you know, I actually yielded myself over to Him. And it, I'm not saying I didn't struggle with it every now and then. It's kind of hard when it's everywhere you go, in the stores, in the restaurants, on your radio, even the news station. You ever listen to a news station when it's a certain talk show host opening up his show and it's playing some kind of song, and it might not really be an ideal kind of music to listen to if you're trying to keep your mind focused on God. It's everywhere. You can't hardly get away from it. Even music is such a dangerous thing. It got into my heart. It got into my mind, into my mood, and it affected my outward attitude. I even allowed it to affect my apparel and my attire. It's very dangerous, and I think at times we really take for granted music. I strongly urge all the young people here, be careful. Be careful what you're listening to, what kind of music you're listening to. Even contemporary Christian music. Contemporary Christian music is very, very dangerous, and I'll tell you why. Did you know there are songs out there going around on the Christian music stations that are telling you cannot be perfect? That goes against the very vision that we have. Christianity, for the most part, does not believe that you can be perfect. It believes you cannot be perfect. It wants to tell you that you cannot be perfect. And that's what the songs are telling us. Do not let that way of thinking get into your head. Do not. It's dangerous. Music is a very dangerous thing. We need to make sure we're not making music our God. We're not making movies our God. Anything can be a God. Anything that stands between you and God is your God. I'm not trying to get worked up. This is my testimony. This is my testimony, and that's why I'm talking about it. I'm so thankful that I have a relationship with God. I'm so thankful that I learned that God has to come first before anything else, before my music, before any of my hobbies. Before anything, God comes first. And isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a wonderful thing to serve God? I think it'd be pretty easy to make a hobby out of serving God. Would it not be? I mean, you can. Set some goals. Okay, I'm going to overcome this. And I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to work with God. I'm going to talk to God at this time every day. And even when I'm not down on my knees praying, I'm going to talk to Him all day throughout the whole day. I want to stay in a constant, you can make a thing out of it. That needs to be our priority. So I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the revelation that we have. It was so good. I love that song, The Blood Bought Church. We've been washed in the blood and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. No form of sin. I mean, though it may be difficult and it may be hard for us as individuals, stand up against sin. We have a God. We have a God who's powerful. There is a Holy Ghost that's powerful. A Holy Ghost that is working in this body. That's working in our lives. And we can go forth. We can go forth. We can go forth. We can go forth. Don't let this world tell you you can't. Do not let religion tell you you can't be perfect. Because you can be perfect. That's something to be excited about tonight, isn't it? We can be perfect. I don't like being told I can't do something. I love being told I can do something. Let's strive for perfection. Let's strive for perfection tonight. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a praise tonight. Let's see what He's going to do. Let Him use you. Young people, let the Lord use you. If you feel something on your heart, give Him a praise. If you don't feel something on your heart, give Him a praise anyway. Just do it anyway. One of the best times to praise God is when you don't feel like doing it. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. Some of the best church services I've been to are the church services I didn't feel like coming to. God blesses a sacrifice, I believe. Sacrifice made for Him. Let's give Him all our praise. Let's give Him all our attention. Let's not look at our phones. Let's not look at our phones. Let's not laugh and have conversations with our friends. Let's have a conversation with the Lord. Let's give Him the praise. Let's give Him the worship today.
Lord, shine your light of truth. Praise the Lord. Me and Caleb and DJ a while ago were talking about how we, you know, we sing and we lift our hands, praise God and everything, but sometimes we don't. We all have our things we feel embarrassed about. Like me, it's kind of like dancing and stuff like that. But we were talking, you know, that's the thing that we need to do, so that way we show people that God is the truth and the light and the way, and that He is the one that we need every day. We have something to celebrate about. There's something to come and to worship Him for and give Him glory. Praise the Lord.
Seek help from God is truly an answered prayer for me. I mean, it really is. To see both of my children. In church instead of out there lost is truly, well, as you mothers in church know, it's a miracle. Because there's, like Caleb was saying, there's such strong pulls out there. The music that they come up with to play over the air can pull these children right out of church. It can take God out of their heart. They're so easily influenced at such a young age. When Nellie was getting prayed for, praying, it brought me back to her age when I got the Holy Ghost. I don't remember where I got it, but I got it when I was about 16. And that just brought back memories of going to meetings, and you would drive for hours and sit in the cramped car, and but when you got there, it was like God said, okay, here. You tell me what I've done for you, and I'll bless you. There's a song on the radio called, You Give Me Blessings, Let Me Give It Back to You in Praise. And lately I've been thinking, you know, I've taken a lot of things for granted. A lot of things. And things started going the wrong way, and I thought, wait a minute. I haven't been praising God for the small things in life. You take for granted that you're going to wake up. You take for granted that you're going to be able to get out of bed and you're going to be able to just be you like you are every day. You take it for granted. And you go outside and you see all the marvelous works that God has done, and you take it for granted that it's going to be there when you get up. You take for granted that you're going to make it from work to the house, or from the house to work, or wherever you're going. And it just makes you stop and think that to see all of these young people in church wanting to praise God, young people coming back to church wanting to rededicate their life, wanting to be an example. I once heard that you should be a lighthouse for God, and that your windows should be so clean that you're a bright light for God. You should keep your windows washed. And to see my children struggle, even when they're grown, breaks my heart. It really does, because I want to fix it for him. I want to fix it for my daughter, but I can't. All I can do is pray. And when I saw DJ at church tonight, I was like, God answered my prayer. Because as y'all know, I've been requesting prayer for him. And when he was here, I thought, okay, God. I backed off. I stopped asking him to come to church. I just prayed that you would touch him and show him where he needs to be. So I'm just thankful to be here.
We were on our way to Joplin. It was the summertime, and we were going to go to Brother Billy Pinnock's camp meeting. And we went up the highway, and Nathan was driving. And I don't know where the song came from, but if you think songs don't influence your life, think again, because they can be good and they can be bad. But we got to singing, "I have a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep." And the Holy Ghost filled that car. My son Nathan was crying. We were all crying. It's a wonder we weren't pulled over. But you know, God watched over us. We were traveling a decent distance. We got up to Joplin, out to that campground. And that was the night the girls got the Holy Ghost. I will never forget that night. This is wonderful to see the young people have a chance to express. And the group, I don't know who the sister was, had been with them in an outside group. And they came in to the regular church. And the Holy Ghost came down in a marvelous way that night. And there was a young lady there from somewhere in Kentucky. And she got into the Spirit. And for the one time in my life, among others, I could hear what she was saying. It was English. And she was in tongue. She was asking God for food for her baby. I will never forget that. And I said, this is why speaking in tongue is so important. I finally said to the ladies around me, I said, "Can't you understand what she's saying?" And they said, "No." I said, "I can." So I started interpreting what she was saying. She was in a tribe in Africa or somewhere, and no food, and the baby was behind her, and the baby was crying. And it went on, and finally, this young lady, she was about 12 or 13, just a precious young person finding her way in God. And her mama said that she had been like this for days, and they couldn't. Said she would get in speaking in tongues, and she would be speaking in tongues for maybe an hour and a half. They couldn't understand her. But that night, the Holy Ghost spoke. And so when it was all over, I said to her mama, I said, "Did you understand?" She said, "No, I never did." But I was able to give her a picture of the men and the tent and the young baby that was back there. No clothes hardly, no nothing. Just one of the tragedies of this world when we find ourselves without food or shelter. And so when I asked the young lady, the 12-year-old, I said, "What did you say?" She said, "All I could hear was that they're coming." And she was able to come through the misery that she had been in for weeks, because God interprets people. He will lay a burden on you for somebody else. So when you speak, when you hear someone speak in tongue, know that they're either talking from your heart or they're... I went on to the campground in Kentucky after that, and I was sitting talking to some brothers. And I said, "This is what happened to us." Because these people that where we were at were not people... I'm not going to give names, but they were not people of what we call the body. They had been, but they were not. And he said that there is such a spirit. The brother in the campground, I don't know who it was, could have been Brother Liniger, but it was someone sitting at a dining table. He said, "There is such a spirit of God working in this world among people that your pain may be felt by someone else, and or your joy may be felt by someone else." And this young girl said when she started to come to, she only thing she could hear was, the milk is coming. And down the road, she could see in the distance, in the future, a group of men, and they were carrying food for this baby. And the baby was going to stop crying. And everything was going to be all right, as much as you can be if you're living in a tent and you only have, you might say, rags to wear. But I will never forget that, because that taught me so much on the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. So when I hear the young people speak in tongues, I know that their spirit is so pure. The world has not had a chance to harm them. They have a clean spirit. So this is such a blessing for me to see my grandbabies here tonight. Pray for Enrique. He would love to be here. He lives in a situation he's not happy in. And I can't tell you what the future is going to be. But I can sure tell you I'm sure glad to be here tonight. I'm so pleased to see my children up there. God is so good to us. You just can't imagine what it's like not to have a church to go to. If you can, then God pity you. But God had brought Dester and I out, and we found a church we can go to, and I am real glad to be here. And I will always try to be a prayer warrior. I may fail, but I will always try to see ladies around ladies. Or it doesn't matter. When you're in God, you have a clean spirit, or God will take you out. I do believe that. But the Lord has been so good to us. And Natalie up there, she was, when she started saying, praise the Lord, that was when the Holy Ghost started filling her. Because where God is, the evil spirit or the empty spirit will leave.
I just wanted to stand up and say, I praise the Lord, and I'm glad to be here. I've had knowledge of the Lord. I come through an area where if you stood up and you praise the Lord, you probably get escorted out. But some few years ago, a spirit come on me that, we're getting in the end times, folks, is what it said. And it said God is going to send down his blessings, and he's going to start revealing himself to a select people, that all of this division, and it's like a jigsaw puzzle with some pieces just scattered around. And God, real soon, this message to me said, go looking for the church, go looking for some redeemed area, because God is going to reveal his spirit and reveal his power as the evil comes in, just like in Egypt. The more powerful evil comes, the more God comes in. So every day I'm praying that God is still working on me. I think like an engineer, and I think just linear, I guess. But God is still working on me, and whatever he has me, I am so glad we're in this church and at this very place, and God is still working on me. He may have finished the stars or the moon, but he's still working on me, and I praise the Lord for it.
just want to tell you how thankful I am to be here, and thankful for how glad I am to have a place to run to, a strong tower for the saints to hold into. I'm just thankful. And of anything else, I just want to say I'm just thankful to be here. And I was thinking, going through my mind before I came to church, thinking, where else? I mean, this is my strong tower. This is where the righteous run into this place. And you know, how many people can say they have a place to run into, a place where they are protected, a city of refuge, where we can stand and be protected from the winds outside the world, and we are here. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. You know, I get down and discouraged a lot of times. I can say, what am I doing here? Why can't I? There's got to be something better. There's got to be somewhere better. And then God hits me in the noggin and says, you know what? No, there's not. This is where you're supposed to be. This is where I want you. This is where I want you to be working. This is where I want you to help hold up your brothers and sisters' arms. This is where I want you working in my body. I want you here. And one of those things, I've got a friend who's a potter. And, you know, he actually makes pots. I mean, that's what he does for a profession. He is a potter. I mean, like back in the olden days, he makes it on a pot, like an old potting wheel. I mean, he is legit. That's what he does. And it got me to think. I saw him, we talked the other day, and then I got to thinking about it today. You know, and everybody's heard that analogy, you know, the potter's wheel, especially in this church. But it really started, you know, clicking in my head, you know, have you ever messed with clay? You know, I know I did when I was a kid. In the summertime, we spent the summers over at Aunt Nett's house, and we'd go make mud pies out of some of that clay out there. And sometimes that clay, it's not malleable. You know, you can't really squish it. It's not squishy. You can't make a cake out of it. Sometimes you get, you know, it's squishy, and there's a rock in the middle of it. Or it is something that's a real clumped up piece of clay. And it got me to thinking, you know, when you're making that clay, and you're making that pot, and making that vase, and you're on the potting wheel, and God's the potter. You know, he's trying to form us to make us what he wants us to be. And we're sitting, he's spinning us round and round and round and round. And oh, there's that spot. That one spot that's hard and tough, and it's hard to work out. You know, you put some more water on it, put some more water. You keep trying to work it out. And we always ask ourselves, God, why can't you take that rough spot out? Why can't you do that? You know, sometimes you got to put some water on and work it out yourself. Sometimes you got to let God work it out for you. You always wonder, God, take that out of my life. I don't want to go through this. Take that out of my life. But it's there for a reason. It's there so you can work it out. It's there so you can be a better Christian, so you can be a better person in this body of Christ. So sometimes we got to work it out. Sometimes God puts that rough spot in your life, whether it's, you know, the boss giving you a hard time or people messing with you at school or anything. It can be even at church. And you could have to have a bad attitude about church. You can have a bad attitude about work. Have a bad attitude on life. But that's that one spot God wants to work on. You keep spinning around and around. He keeps working on it. So, okay, I'll put some more water on it. And when you finally get that spot worked out, you're smooth. Sometimes God uses those other people, uses those situations like sandpaper to kind of sit there and rough up. Rough it up. Rough it up and smooth it out. Smooth it up. And then after that, you know what you do when you've got the pot done? You put it in the fire. You put it in the fire, and you let God heat it up. Let the world heat it. That's one of the, you got to be baptism of fire. You know, you have to be, once you have it in your life, once you know you get that spot worked out, God's going to test you. He's going to say, you know, okay, now we're going to see what you're going to make. See if you're going to crack under pressure, if you're going to crack under that hard flame, that hot flame, that furnace, that kilns, what the potters call it, and they put you in there. And the way my potter friend told me, they put you in there, put it, kind of get you started a little warm first, put some more wood on it, get a little hotter. A little hotter, a little hotter, a little hotter. And next you know, it's hot. And so you told you can't even get near it. And that's how God wants to see if we're going to break. You know, if we break, he's going to take us right back out, start working on us again. Start working on us again. And that song, whatever it takes for my will to break, that just, man, it really works in my heart, saying, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Whatever I have to sit there and break myself down and humble myself down. Whatever it takes for my will to break. Whatever it takes. I want to work on that. Whatever it takes. And that's when you keep going back to that in my mind. It's just whatever it takes, whatever you keep working on in your life, whatever you keep thinking about to work out that hard spot, to work out that little lumpy piece of clay, to work it out. And you start thinking, after you go through the fire, after you get hard and you pass that test, and all my mind I can think, I've been through some of those tests. You know, you go back through, go through them, you come through victorious. And all I can say is, that's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. I'm thankful for my Jesus. That's my Jesus. He's my Savior, don't you know? The man from Galilee, he will set your spirit free. He will fill your cup up to the brim, Joseph. Your cup up to the brim. And over if you keep working on it. He will fill your cup until you got a puddle down below your feet. Hey, that's him. Oh, that's him.
Oh, Lord. Man, that works on you. Say that. That's him. That's my Jesus. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He's who I run to. He's my altar. He is my friend. He's my Jehovah Rosa. He's my Jehovah Jireh. That's him. Oh, that's him. Thank you, Lord.
You'd have to be pretty, I don't know, asleep, not get inspired by that, wouldn't you? That was good. It just got me to thinking, talking about just the potter and the vessels and everything. All kinds of thoughts started going through my head. You know, there's been plenty of times, and we all have, we felt that pressure, right? You felt that pressure trying to squeeze this out, and God's like, you know, get that out of there, you know, whatever. It comes to all of us, and I was just telling Sister Cindy, I said, you know, sometimes I feel like he's trying to make me into a little short, fat bowl to hold porridge or something. And I want to be a tall, thin vase to hold roses. Yeah. I don't want to be that little short, fat bowl. but he knows where he needs us, you know. And I got to be willing, if that's what he wants me to be, that little bowl just to hold porridge or whatever, then I got to be a little bowl and whole porridge, you know, if that's where he wants to use me. And you think, and then I got to think about that after I told her that. I thought, you know, I've got both. I've got cereal bowls at home, and I've got vases to hold flowers. And you know where those vases are most of the time? They're stuck back in a cabinet. That's right. Until, you know, one day comes along, I have some pretty flowers, I'll get it out for a few days, and then it goes right back in the cabinet. No, don't see it, you know. But that cereal bowl, now I use that just about every day. That's out. And you know, so I thought, you know, I mean, God knows where he needs us. And it's so easy for us, you know, well, I want to do that job. You know, I want to do that. You know, I want to be them. I want to do what they're doing, you know. And he's like, I got you right where I want you. Would you just do the job I gave you, you know? And you'll be good. You'll be where I want you. Well, good. Well done, is what he said, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just appreciate the spirit that's been here tonight. Our young people, the girls choosing that song, that was right on. They got it right there, didn't they? The spirit came in, and our young men letting God use them. I just appreciate it. It feels good to be here tonight and be a part.
I've been here longer than anywhere in my life, and I've had more opportunity to watch more people and the children of the people. And when I first got here, a lot of the parents of the children here that are coming up and doing the work, I've watched them as children, and I've been able to serve them a little bit, and it's really warming to see how things are coming about. I've got children that are someplace else. I have no idea what they're doing, what their life is like, except for one kind of, and I got an opportunity to visit him a while back. While I was there, I listened to the services over the web, And by accident, I left the web address on my son's laptop. He called me up and he says, you left some things on my laptop. Would you mind if I checked them out? You know, that didn't mean... That was the greatest thing my son could have done to me. I says, gladly, you know. I've got two daughters. I don't know where, can't find them. But I would like for you to pray that somewhere, somebody in the body gets their attention and draws them in. I want so terribly for my children to have what we've got, what we're getting, and what we're about to get. And I'm looking forward to the greater that's coming. It is soon upon us. God bless you all.
Keep his screen alive. We'll just practice on y'all.
Spilling your love all over them. just like thee. I long to be, and more, that's all. I'm just a handful of clay, a potter found along the way, and I'll never know what Jesus sees in me. And I won't try trials have hardened me, that others might see my faith in thee. Dear Lord, don't let me be away too far. A vessel filled up to the brim, spilling love all. Just like thee, I long to be, and more, that's all. I'm just a handful of clay, the potter found.
Been good tonight, hasn't it? I appreciate our young people so much. It seems like God wants to bless them every time they get turned loose. Oh, it's something we got to keep doing. It inspires me. I'm makes me want to keep on keeping on. Hallelujah. Let's give him a praise before we go home tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness to us, your grace and your mercy, oh God, your touch on our lives, Jesus. Keep touching our young people, oh God. Inspire them. Help them, oh Jesus. Edify and lift them up, oh God. Lead their way. Lead their steps, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Wednesday night. Prayer at 7, service at 7:30.